good morning, everybody, once again. Yeah, then, well, just after seven this morning when the pastor phoned and could hardly hear his voice, and he said, could you bring a message this morning? He was emphatic. Don't preach, just speak and bring a short devotional. So I'll try and obey him in that. But I also understand a little bit more what Timothy was speaking about, or Paul, when he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:2, that one must be ready in and out of season. I really feel I'm out of season, but nevertheless. So this morning, what I want to do to you and with you and share with you is just to bring the Lord Jesus to you, to all of us. It's Easter. We all know the Easter story. We've read it. But this morning I want to focus on our suffering Savior. And it was read so beautifully from Isaiah 53 that one does not really even need to preach it. However, if we look at the book of Hebrews, Hebrews paints a picture of Jesus. And the picture that Hebrews paints is that Jesus is better than. Jesus is higher than. Jesus is eternal. And so as we go through the message this morning, these few thoughts I want to share, let us hold before us that he is better, he is higher, he is eternal. But also, the writer to the Hebrew paints a different picture of Jesus, and he paints a picture of Jesus as prophet, as priest, and as king. And so this morning, I want to focus somewhat on Jesus, the high priest. Because what he did at Calvary was fulfilling a high priest role. He offered himself as the sacrifice, just as the high priest would offer sacrifices for the people of Israel. And Hebrews tells us that he did it once and for all. And so, very simply, we're going to look at Jesus and what did Jesus do for you and what did he do for me. But before that, I just want to read some verses from Hebrews. And firstly, I'm going to read from Hebrews 4, just from verse 14, which says, since therefore we have a high priest who has gone before the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. I think that's the first point. Let us hold firmly this day and every day of our lives to that which we profess. For we do not have an high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he was without sin. Jesus comes to us as one who can empathize with us in every situation that we may find ourselves. And it then goes on in verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace in confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And that really is my prayer this morning for all of us, that we may have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be conscious of and receive his grace and mercy. Okay, so now turning to some thoughts about the Lord Jesus at this time. But maybe just as I go and prepare to get to them, just a reminder of where we are this morning and what has led up to this. We know that Jesus has been preaching throughout Galilee and to the northern parts, to the north of Galilee, and then has come down the eastern side of what's today Israel through the Jordan Valley. And by the time he gets to Jerusalem, to Jericho, we read that he sets his face resolutely towards Jerusalem. And we know the disciples try and persuade him not to go, but Jesus is resolute. So the Lord Jesus that I bring to you this morning is one who, in what he does for us, is resolute. He will accomplish his purposes, and he has accomplished his purposes for us. The other thing that we need to know about the Lord Jesus as he goes into Jerusalem is that he has all knowledge. So he knows exactly what is lying ahead of him. And yet the Lord Jesus does not waver, but goes. And so the question that comes to each of us is, do we know what the Lord Jesus did for us at Easter? Really did for us? It's easy to say that he died on the cross, but there is so much more to just his death on the cross. What he did for us at Easter, what he does for you and I each day and for every person that has ever walked this earth. And so as we ask that question and try and answer it this morning, we also ask the question in the light of what the Lord did. What does Easter mean to you? And what does Easter mean to me? Even as I came down the road this morning, I could hear lawnmowers going. I saw runners running. I didn't get to the beach area, but no doubt there would have been people swimming. Easter means something to them. What does it mean to you and I? Well, people often misunderstood the Lord Jesus. Even Martha, at the time of Lazarus' death, Jesus says to her these words in John 11:25. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Easter speaks to that living, that dying, and that coming resurrection. And today, as we celebrate Friday, we speak about the death, and Monday or Sunday, we speak about the resurrection. Now, there's certainly two things in human nature that each one of us succumbs to, and I believe these are the fear of suffering and the fear of death. I don't think anybody willingly will suffer, and nobody willingly wants to die. And so, yet we find our Lord Jesus full well knowing that he's about to suffer, he's about to die, resolutely carries on the journey to Jerusalem. But through his death and coming resurrection, he takes away from each one of us the fear of death. He removes it. He conquers the one barrier that no one but him could conquer, and that's the barrier of death. And so there's a wonderful release and a wonderful peace that comes into our hearts when we think that no longer do we need to fear this world. And we do live in a troubled world, and we do have fears, but beyond the grave is Jesus. And to the grave is Jesus besides us. Well, he gives us the victory, but it's a victory that you and I did not deserve. And yet he does it out of love, out of grace. And he does it because the Father had so determined before the foundations of the world. Now, suffering. How does Jesus suffer for us? What did he suffer for us? And this seems like a long list, but I think it's a list that we can take and hold before us from time to time as we walk our earthly path. And the first thing is Jesus was rejected for us. I don't know how many of you, I suppose most of us, have gone to a new school. We don't know anyone, we feel strange, and we sort of stand in the corner, hang around the walls, and nobody comes and speaks to you, and you go home and you feel rejected. I remember when we used to play kids' games and with Roy Rover and things like that, and they'd always call the fast and the big, and the wimps, well, we were just left behind. Felt rejected. Well, Jesus was rejected, but he was rejected by his country. We read in John 1, he came to his own and they received him not. He was rejected in his hometown. He's a prophet. Has he got any standing in his hometown? His friends rejected him. We read in Mark's gospel, after that many left him. His own family questioned and doubted him. And then, of course, we know that the religious leaders of the day rejected the Lord Jesus. So he was a man rejected by many, for you, for me. And yet not once did he lash out. Not once did he say, leave them to themselves. Well, he was tempted even by the devil. 3 times he was tempted, we read. And in fact, if you read the Gospels, it says, and then the devil left him for a season. So one can only surmise that the devil tempted him throughout his ministry on earth, and he withstood it for you and for me. But this suffering Savior of ours was also ridiculed, and I guess there's nothing worse than being ridiculed. That's why the Lord has given us the color red that we turn, I think, at times, to hide our embarrassment or to show our embarrassment, not certain. But he was ridiculed because of his background. He's a carpenter's son, after all. He's not a king. The Roman soldiers mocked him, scourged him. The chief priest struck him on his face, ridiculing him. Are you truly the Son of God? They asked. and then even right up to the end on the cross, initially both the thieves. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Well, not only was he ignored and rejected and ridiculed, the same Lord Jesus, whose death we remember today, was also threatened throughout his lifetime. He was threatened by Herod. He was threatened in his hometown. He was chased from it, in fact. He was threatened because he healed on the Sabbath. He did good works. And for good works, he was threatened. Isn't that not the world today? You want to do good? You will be threatened. He was threatened certainly because of his teachings. Do you feel threatened when you share the gospel for the Lord Jesus? And then he was threatened for many of his miracles. Little wonder that we read in Isaiah that he was despised of men. As we go through the gospels, we see it unfolding in his life. Well, it got worse for Jesus, and many in our country can testify to the harshness of it today, maybe. He was homeless. He didn't have a permanent home. He lived where he found himself. He tells his disciples, go into a village, go into a home, and if people do not accept you, leave. Ever wonder where they left to? We read that he spent many an hour on hillsides. I assume they often stayed overnight there. He certainly stayed and prayed there from time to time, we read. Jesus was denied on your and my behalf. And he was denied by his closest friend, Peter. He was denied by the other disciples because we read that they all fled away. Yes, they came back later, but in that moment, who has not felt the denial of a friend? The denial of a family member, the denial of a loved one. This is our suffering Savior. I could go on and on and on about what the Lord Jesus did for us, what he bore for us. And all this culminated, of course, on the cross. He was illegally tried. Well, we've all heard about kangaroo courts in our time, but he was tried 7 times. And 7 times false charges were brought against him. And 7 times he either just responded by remaining silent or said, you said it. He did not revile. And one needs but to read your newspapers to see the machinations in courts today, how every attempt is trying to discredit that which is said of us, even though we know we are guilty. And so finally we come to this day, Easter, where it all comes to a head, where the sins of the world are laid on our Lord Jesus Christ, on our Savior. And we find on that Easter, on that Good Friday, Jesus is finally tortured, and he finally dies for you and I. And just look at his torture. He was slapped, this man, the Son of God, a king, our high priest, our Savior. He was blindfolded, so he didn't know where it came from. For those who've been in the military and know some of the things that are used when trying to get answers, being blindfolded and not knowing where whatever is coming is one of the most devastating things that can happen to you. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He was scourged, beaten with a whip containing sharp objects. He was beaten about the head. He was pierced. And finally, he was crucified. This is your suffering Savior. This is the person who says to you and I this morning, come unto me, all who labor, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. He who knew no rest for us brings us rest. Truly, we say, serve a wonderful Savior. I want you to know that Jesus didn't do this just because. There was a purpose to him suffering. It was a purpose that had been decreed before the foundation of the earth. And through his suffering, Jesus paved the way for you and I to live in all eternity. He conquers the finality of death once and for all. You can read about that in Acts 2 and also in Corinthians 15. And I don't want to go into the resurrection today, but because of Christ's death, we know that he intercedes today forever for us on the cross, on the throne of God. We know that our prayers will be heard, even as his prayers for us were heard. Our journey through this life has many uncertainties, for sure. But the end of this journey is certain, and what lies beyond this journey is certain. There's absolutely no doubt about it. We serve a God who truly loves us, who truly cares for us. But also we serve a God, because of what Jesus did for the cross, who truly understands us in our very humanity. And so the question that we'll end this very short devotional on is, what is Easter to you and I? Is Easter mowing your lawn? Is it about a couple of rabbits that run around the yard hiding chocolates? Is Easter just another festive holiday that you can do the backlog of work? Or is Easter the day in which we quietly contemplate the greatest event that this world has ever known? The day in which our Savior laid down his life, that we may have life. Does Easter fill us with hope beyond the dread of the day's activities? Does Easter reveal to us a loving God, a suffering Savior, but also a dearest friend, the only true friend the world ever has? And so I do pray for all of us that this Easter may be very special, that we may reflect on the Lord Jesus, what he has done for us, and even as we prepare our hearts for Sunday, when the women go down to the tomb and they hear those wonderful words, "He is not here, he has risen." What a wonderful Savior we have. I want to end this short time just reading again from Hebrews, and moving on from chapter 4 into chapter 5, because chapter 5 sort of closes what I've just said to you off quite well. When in chapter 5 we read there, "Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God." Jesus was not elected amongst men. He was sent from God to men. And the high priest is there to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin, and is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as the sins for the people. Note, our Lord Jesus did not have to sacrifice for his own sins, and that is why he could sacrifice for our sins once and for all, because of his purity. "No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest." Is that not amazing? That God himself does not take upon himself his deity, but he takes upon himself our humanity to die for ourselves. And then we read that God said to him, "Today I have become your father." And another place it says, "You are a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And we know Melchizedek never died. He lived forever, the high priest of Jerusalem. And so our high priest lives forever. Forever the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. And then it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest." We worship a risen Savior. How wonderful is it not that we come this day and remember not only the death, but the life that flowed from that death through each one of us. And so let us go out with thanksgiving in our hearts, praise on our lips, for indeed we serve a wonderful God. That's all I have to say this morning. Pray that God will bless each one of us as we celebrate this weekend in the way in which only He would have us celebrate. That our lives are a testimony of God's goodness towards us, His grace towards us, and His ongoing work of sanctification in our lives. Lord, bless each one of us.